So this morning I'm going to briefly share the story of a mixed method study that we did to assess uptake of and experiences with expedited partner therapy, or EPT, among a sample of African American girls who were recruited from short-term juvenile detention centers in Georgia. I do not have anything to disclose to you this morning, as my slide indicates. And funding for this study was provided by a cooperative agreement grant from the CDC listed here. Additionally, a few of us on the research team had our time supported by research grants from the National Institutes of Health, and those are also listed here. So let's jump in. Juvenile girls are increasingly at risk for sexually transmitted infections, or STIs. In 2011, juvenile girls in the United States aged 12 to 18 had chlamydia and gonorrhea rates that were 4 and 8 times higher, respectively, than case rates for girls among the same age range in the general population. African American juvenile girls are at an increased risk, or even further at increased risk, for STIs. In 2011, there was a study of 1,190 female juvenile offenders that found that African American girls were significantly more likely than white girls to report engaging in sexual activity, engaging in unprotected sex, reporting multiple partners, and these girls were 3 times more likely to report a history of pregnancy. Additionally, African American female juvenile offenders are significantly more likely to report a history of sexual victimization, trauma, depression, and substance abuse, which are all risk factors for STIs. The fact that detained African American girls are so dramatically overrepresented in Georgia's juvenile detention centers provided us a unique opportunity to intervene for a significantly at-risk population. Additionally, because adolescent girls are commonly reinfected through contact with untreated partners, we thought that EPT could be a way to address issues of male partner risk, STI reinfection, and sexual network risk for STIs. As many of you know, EPT is an alternative to traditional partner management methods that involves a clinician providing the presenting patient with medication or a prescription for medication to then be dispensed to their exposed partners. And this foregoes the necessity for coming in for a formal office visit for those exposed partners. Efficacy studies of EPT have found promise in decreasing transmission of chlamydia primarily, and in some cases gonorrhea as well. However, few of these studies have included adolescents, and of those that have, fewer have included adolescents younger than 16 years old, and of those that have, none have specifically targeted at-risk populations such as African American adolescent girls who have been detained. Therefore, we wanted to do a study to describe the uptake, correlates of uptake, and experiences using EPT among a sample of these young ladies who were also participating in an HIV-STI prevention trial. So these are our data sources. There were 95 girls ages 14 to 17 who provided data at 3 time points, that's baseline, 3 month, and 6 month. They provided vaginal swab specimens, which were tested for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and they also completed audio computer-assisted self-interviews, which assessed factors such as sexual behaviors, partner and relationship characteristics, and psychosocial factors. Of those 95 girls, 51 tested positive for an STI and were offered EPT medication by our study nurse over the phone. Of those 51 girls, 37 participated in follow-up phone interviews with our study nurse 7 days after they had been provided the EPT medication. And of those 37 girls, 9 participated in semi-structured interviews to discuss their EPT experiences. Uptake frequency was assessed using summary statistics, and correlates of accepting EPT was analyzed using logistic GEE models. It's important to note here that due to our modest sample size, our alpha was adjusted to 0.10 to attempt to reduce the likelihood of observing a type 2 error. Our qualitative interview data was analyzed by first identifying themes and then applying a final coding framework by annotating each interview with codes that indexed each theme. So here's what we found. EPT was offered 69 times by our study nurse to 51 STI positive girls. So as you can see, some of the girls in our study did test positive at more than one time point. EPT was accepted 48 times or 70% of the time. And here when we say accepted, this means that when on the phone with the study nurse, they indicated verbally that yes, they would like to receive the medication. The medication was then provided 47 times or 68% of the time to 36 girls. The primary reason for refusing EPT medication was a discontinued relationship with the exposed or infecting partner. Riskier sexual behaviors were significantly correlated with EPT uptake. You can see here those highlighted in white indicated those that were significantly correlated. I'll only discuss a few due to time. So for example, low communication, or in this case, discussing prevention of STIs with a partner three or fewer times in the preceding 90 days was significantly correlated with uptake. And here, number of STIs diagnosed. So in this case, girls who were diagnosed with both chlamydia and gonorrhea were more likely than girls diagnosed with only one or the other to accept the medication. And in terms of our qualitative data, we identified five primary themes: those motivation for acceptance, rationale for refusal, partner disclosure, which was then divided into two subcategories, discomfort and partner reaction, and then verifying treatment completion and EPT model evaluation. And here we just have a few quotes to illustrate some of the sentiments that we found under the motivation for accepting EPT theme. Here, both girls are expressing sentiments or a sense of responsibility for the health of their partner in motivating their acceptance of the medication. And that's something that we did observe quite often with girls and throughout the interviews, expressing this sense of responsibility. And here are sentiments of girls discussing the partner notification theme. This first quote is from a girl who discussed discomfort with making the partner disclosure. And in this case, she also went on to explain how she overcame that barrier. Here she involved a family member in having that disclosure conversation. And that's also something that we found common with our girls. If they did experience discomfort with making disclosure, with having the disclosure conversations, they then went on to explain how they overcame that barrier, whether it be through involving a family member or having the conversation over the phone rather than face to face. So uptake of EPT was high in our study, and it was associated with riskier sexual behaviors. And although our results are promising, our data cannot be used to make an overall assessment of the efficacy of our EPT model due to some limitations such as our modest sample size and the use of a very specific population that cannot be generalized to other populations of adolescents. Girls in our studies did, or our study rather, did express a sense of responsibility that appeared to motivate their acceptance of EPT. And this is something that could be further, assessed in future studies. And if it is found to be a common theme, something that potentially could be incorporated into prevention activities of future research. Now, the most common barriers to accepting EPT, such as having a discontinued partner relationship, are things that could not easily be overcome with our EPT model. However, there were other barriers, such as discomfort with having partner disclosure conversations, that can and were overcome by girls in our study. And this is an important point, and it likely relates back to this sense of responsibility for the health of the partner that was expressed by several of our participants. So if EPT can be found to be effective for use among high-risk African-American adolescent populations, it may be a significant tool that could be added to the existing HIV and STI prevention suite. And juvenile detention centers specifically provide a unique opportunity to reach those who are most at risk, something that should be considered in future intervention designs. Thank you, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Wonderful presentation. I'm Melina from Los Angeles County. And I had a question about the, could you possibly describe the interaction with the nurse? What kind of counseling messages or, and was there any in-person visit to offer EPT?
There was. So the phone conversations that they had with the nurse, there were counseling aspects. And then there was also the STI notification of the status if they tested positive or negative, and then counseling that would be provided depending on what that result was. And then a formal conversation, they also did an assessment they also, had the formal offer of EPT to the partner and explaining more about that, whether it was accepted or not. And then 7 days after, they were provided the medication. And the medication was provided to the girl for her own treatment and the additional medication for the partner in person. And then 7 days after that in-person meeting, they had another follow-up phone conversation with this nurse where she had a checklist of things that she was assessing for each girl. So when did you provide the medication? Did your partner take the medication? How do you know he took the medication? Things of that nature.
Bernard Gilliard, South Carolina Department of Health. A question around the partner. Was there the request for identity and additional information of the partner prior to the offering of the EPT for the partner?
There was not, due to some confidentiality issues. But in future studies, that is something that we would like to look at, is the experience of the partner.
Hi, Jackie Castle, UK. I thought it was a fascinating presentation, and I went to a really nice talk yesterday about young MSM, black African-American young men, and this theme of the mother or the grandmother came up. It was so fascinating, somebody finding them. And I just wonder, do we need to think about family structures as a way into some of these particularly sort of complex situations? I mean, it was fascinating that you said that there are so many modes, and getting your grandmother to tell your boyfriend seems quite extraordinary. We wouldn't have thought of it. So does this open up kind of perhaps a different way of thinking about these young people?
Absolutely, that's a very good point, looking at the cultural situation of the girls in this study. And obviously not in every African-American community, but in many African-American communities, the family structure is very important. And so involving family members could be a way to enhance prevention models. Absolutely.